Good afternoon. It is 3:21, and I'm calling the House Labor and Commerce Committee for April 12th to order. We are in room 124 of the Capitol, and please turn off your cell phones, turn them to vibrate or silent. Members present: Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Stutes, Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, and Vice Chair Wool, and myself, Chair Tito. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. Support staff this afternoon is Caitlin Ellis as our recording secretary, and Matt Kern as our LIO moderator. And we had two bills on the calendar, but we are awaiting a committee substitute on House Bill 83, so we're going to set that one aside. Moves us to House Bill 142, Unemployment Compensation Benefits, and we intend to hear the committee substitute and move the bill. So I'm going to bring HB 142 before us. We do have a committee substitute. Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the committee adopt the blank CS for HB 142 version 30-LS0530/O as a working document.
Okay, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Foster and Representative Tuck, if you want to come forward and explain the changes in the committee substitutes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members, for hearing House Bill 142. Again, this is Representative Chris Tuck, and with me is Kendra Kloster. Primarily two changes were made. Section 2, subsection H, was amended to specify the department shall review and provide for increases annually. We didn't have that word annually in there before, and so this adds that in there. And then Section 2, subsection I, was revised to remove the requirement for publication of the notice of changes to the benefit schedule in the Alaska Administrative Code, as such notices are not published in the Administrative Code. This was an error in drafting, and so we took that section out.
And are those the only two changes?
Only two changes.
Okay. Do you have any comments or questions from the committee?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Okay. Sorry, I'm only seeing Section 1. Can you go back to where you said the changes were made?
Section 2, page 9, and those changes would be, I guess, Ms. Kloster, if you could identify the line numbers on page 9.
Okay.
Kendra Kloster, staff to represent Chris Tuck. And so Section 2, it's page 9. We're looking at line number 13. We added the word annually.
Okay. I apologize. I had an incomplete packet. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So any other questions or comments on the committee substitute? I withdraw my objection. So that brings version 30-LS0530/O before the committee as our working document. We do have the Director of Division of Employment and Training available for questions, as well as the Assistant Director of Employment Security for both for Department of Labor and the Economist for Unemployment Insurance Actuary. Do we have any questions for any of those individuals, Representative Wool?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I was reading the change and just trying to understand it fully, so if you don't mind.
Certainly.
So under Section 2H, I guess it's saying that after December 31st, 2019, the department shall increase weekly benefit amounts by $2 for each $250 annual exceeding $5,950. So the cap at $510 of an annual salary of $5,950, that will be lifted after December 31st, 2019. It'll go. I'm confused.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it all depends on how the average income, Alaskan income, would be. So it's based on that. So yes, there's a formula that will take it up or possibly.
So if I might give that a shot. So on December 31st, 2019, the department will review the average annual salary, and if the average annual salary is above $59,500, then for every $250 above that the average annual salary is, $2 will be added to the weekly benefit. Follow up.
Okay. Yeah, that helps me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So
it's an automatic factory.
So $59,500 is the statewide average. That's what your number you're getting. It's not an individual. It's not, oh, if I went from 59,000 to 89,000 in 1 year, then I'd get, it's based on the statewide average of 59.5.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Stutes.
And I think that I kind of answered my own question, but I just want to confirm it. The qualifying wage period, is that the prior year?
Yes, it
qualifying
is.
Qualifying benefit.
And I don't know if it's a full year. I'll have to ask the Department of Labor to step up on that because I don't know if it's a full year.
Thank you, Mr. Flanagan. Place your name and affiliation on the record.
Ed Flanagan, Division Director, Division of Employment Training Services, Department of Labor. And, yes, that's in the base year. It's the full year prior, but the way it works, there is a one-quarter lag. So if somebody came in and opened a claim today, actually they don't come in anymore. If they opened a claim today, it would be based on calendar year 2016. If they had come in before the 1st, it would have been based on October 1st, 2015 through. But it is a full year. It's everything they earned in wages in a full year.
Follow up? Just so I'm clear on this. It's a full year, i.e., 12 months from the beginning of the last quarter from which they're filing.
Yeah, with it going back gotcha. To, yeah, with a quarter in between, yes.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. You're the chair. Thank you.
Pulling up here, just a correction. The average annual wage is actually $53,000 right now. The 59.5 is just where we run the schedule out to come up with the benefit on the right-hand side that is half of the average weekly wage. But after, as you said, after December 31st, 2019, there would only be an adjustment if the average annual wage had gone up. And it's not projected to go up for the next 2 to 3 years at least.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. Representative Knopf.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Flanagan, first I want to thank you for coming by my office and helping me get that straight in my head. But unfortunately, I'm getting to the point in life where it doesn't retain it very long. So just to be clear, so when we get when the average weekly salary is $59,250, then the 508 in the third column, that is not the benefit they're actually going to receive in unemployment, or it is the benefit they're actually going to receive?
If the bill passes, this is the benefit schedule that would be in effect. And it is very easy to get confused because the base year is one thing and the average annual wage is another. So should the average annual wage at some point go up to, for example, $59,000, at that point there would be an increase in the amount over on the right. But I know it's confusing that they're not necessarily relational here. The amounts, and this is the way we've always raised, or the state has always raised the increase when it does make an adjustment, is by running the schedule out longer. So we don't have the situation which we're referred to now under current law where somebody who makes $84,000 in their base year gets the same benefit as someone who makes $42,000. Kind of acknowledges that some people are going to need more to maintain their lifestyle.
Follow up. But I guess, and I understand what you're saying, but I guess the point I want to make and I'm trying to get to is, so at some point in time when we are the state averaging $59,000 or $59,250 consistently and have been for a number of years, and we have a recession, we're going down, and everybody is laid off. So at that time, their unemployment benefits will be about the $508 that I'm reading. Is that, I mean, when you're splitting up between benefit year and earned, I guess. I'm just trying to say, are we going to get to that point? And let me just follow up, Mr. Chairman, on that question, because when Mr. Flanagan was in my office and I was trying to understand this, my concerns were that we didn't lead the nation in unemployment insurance benefits. So I didn't want to get so high that we were actually incentivizing people not to be aggressively looking for work. That was my concern, number one. My other concern and I'm spitting all this out since Mr. Flanagan's up here and have an opportunity to respond to him if he needs to. My other concern was that by increasing these rates, it's costing employers an additional, well, 42% increase to employers over 5 years by 2023. The rates employers pay will jump up about 42%, if I'm accurate, that number.
That is over what is projected had we done nothing. For employees, I got to stress, at the max, for employees who make the $39,800, which is currently the maximum, at which point contributions by both employers and employees stop.
And so the other thing I'll just address, Mr. Chairman, is some of the things that I was hoping that we would consider and look at is the contribution rates. As employers are paying 6.5, I believe, and employees pay 1.5. And so when we talk about the rate increases, I was wondering if part of the conversation shouldn't be about the rates that employees pay versus what employers are paying. And secondly, I wanted to address with Mr. Flanagan that state employees are also eligible for unemployment insurance benefits, although they do not contribute to them, but the employer, the state, does. So then were some of the issues that, in fact, I wanted to be part of this discussion. And so I'll let Mr. Flanagan.
I hope I haven't forgotten all of your questions, but first, okay. We will, if this bill passes, we will never be the highest maximum weekly benefit amount in the state because there are other states that gear it towards 60, as much as 60% of the average annual wage. And right now there is, I don't think Washington's the highest, but they're 690. I mean, they're well north of where we'd be even with this bill, and I believe theirs automatically adjusts. Many states do. To the first part of your question, and again, this is the part where it's confusing. I mean, if you make $59,000 when this bill passes, yes, you're going to get $508, because that's based on the average annual wage right now being $53,000. When the average annual wage, which would be several years from now, gets up to $59,000, I got to do the math real quick. The benefit, the maximum benefit, would be something like $570. Or 580, but that would be probably a number of years before, but that is the automatic adjuster. And then I don't think I lost your last question there, or did I?
I think it might have been to the point of the contribution rate between employees.
Thank you. Contribution rates right now, and they do fluctuate, but the employee rate is at the statutory minimum for employees of 0.5. The employee rate has a minimum of 0.5 and a maximum of 1.0. And again, we're one of only three states where employees pay anything. And in the employer contribution right now is on average about 1.01, which is right. The employer minimum is 1%. And there's no maximum on the employer contribution.
Mr. Chair, I'll let Mr. Weller come up to the table.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry about
that. Hello.
For the record?
Sorry. For the record, my name is Lennon Weller, and I'm an economist for the Alaska Department of Labor, and I serve as the actuary for the unemployment insurance system.
Thank you, Mr. Weller. And did you have an answer to the question?
Yes. Yeah, so through the chair, Representative Knopp, the average rate for an employer is 1.01%, and that is just off of the minimum rate for employers at 1%, with the maximum being 6.5%.
Max being 6.5%?
Correct. That no employer can be charged more than that. No,
that's less, not what we're at, though.
No, we're actually just 1/100th of a percentage point off of the minimum rate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's the contribution rate, as my friend here from Anchorage likes to talk about, the TPAP funding unemployment? Isn't that 0.15 or something?
The current contribution rate for the TVEP program is 0.16%, or 1/16ths of a percentage point.
Is that part of the 1.01 that employers are paying, and that's a component of that? Is that correct?
It's actually, through the chair, Representative Knopp, it's actually a portion of what employees pay. At current, employees pay a half a percentage point, of which 0.16 is attributed towards the TVAB program.
One last final. So I mentioned about the state employees, no contributions, and the contribution rate. So is it or should it be part of the conversation on here?
Generally,
Mr. Flanagan.
A lot of large employers, through the chair, sorry, I've been forgetting that, Mr. Chairman. Employers with relatively low rates of unemployment, I guess is what the term is, but they like to be reimbursable, and the state is one of those that's reimbursable. As school districts, public employers generally, they can elect to, but do you have any idea if what would be the cost to the state? I think it was economical. The state would elect to be a contributory employer. Generally, reimbursable is a better deal. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct.
Mr. Weller?
Through the chair. That's correct.
Representative
Wolf? Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a few concerns similar to Representative Knopp. I'm in favor of increasing the payout above what it was before. I have encountered in my own business life people that would sometimes prefer to collect unemployment than to come work, and they tell me they can work when their unemployment finishes. So this will be a higher payout. Obviously, you have to make more money to get more money. Is there, and you mentioned earlier in your testimony that you said, well, people come in, and you said, well, they don't come in anymore. So obviously it's done electronically. So when people do collect on insurance, I'm assuming there's still a requirement for them to seek employment, and is that verified in any way?
Yes, it is, and I may have Patsy Westcott come up, but we do. We have the requirements that they have to come up. We actually confirm that they have, spot check. We can't check everybody, but we routinely audit. If folks say, I went to so-and-so to apply for a job, we will contact so-and-so and find out if they went, and we do catch people up. That's where a lot of the overpayments that we're recovering come from. But as far as folks collecting unemployment and working under the table, they're violating the law. And, if we find out about it, we pursue that and go for recoup the benefits plus a 50% penalty. And in some cases, if it's really egregious and we can get a prosecutor to do it, we'll prosecute.
Thank you. Follow. Any other questions for the department? Thank you, gentlemen. I do also, we have public testimony open, and I do have one person signed up for public testimony, Dennis Neville. Mr. Neville,
yes.
Can you provide your name and affiliation for the record and provide your testimony, please?
My name is Dennis Cable. I'm the president of the Anchorage Central Labor Council, which is an organization of unions that represent employees throughout the Anchorage Bowl. We exist to serve the goals established by our members. We believe that economic health of our community depends on strong, vibrant workforce. We demand that a government be responsive to the people. We require most greater participation in all aspects of the community so that every citizen has the education and tools for success. On March 15, 2017, our council unanimously passed a resolution urging the Alaska State Legislature to increase the maximum unemployment benefit. Alaska ranks 44th in average weekly benefits, currently at $252. Alaska significantly trails Washington State, Oregon, California in weekly unemployment benefits. Right now, Alaska currently is in an economic downturn, and our laid-off skilled workforce need financial security. To be successful in our community, our local employers must maintain a skilled labor pool to draw from when our economy picks back up. We thank you for your time and ask you to please pass HB 142.
Thank you, Mr. Nabel. Do we have any questions from committee members? I don't see any questions. Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any committee comments or questions for the bill sponsor?
Seeing none, Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the CS for HB 142, version 30-LS0530/O be passed from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there objection to the motion as stated? Seeing no objection, House Bill 142 is passed from committee. Stick around and we will sign the paperwork. I'm going to adjourn the meeting, but I do want to let everyone know that this Friday, April 14th, we have a meeting, 3:15 p.m., and we have two bills on the calendar, House Bill 209, Product Warranties and Required Updates, and House Bill 83, Teachers and Public Employee Retirement Plans. We should have our committee substitute by then. With that, I will adjourn House Labor and Commerce at 3:42 p.m. Thank you.